You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight we talk about Kevin Costner's sophomore effort, The Postman.
You no trouble. Me, fifth element. Supreme being.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a bear.
Sir, yes, sir!
Yes! I was wondering what was Ray first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead.
Hail Satan.
Satan lives. The year is won.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Dead.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes, the dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host, I'm editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I am invoking the law of eight. What is it, law seven? We're going to do law seven. Thunderdome rules. Two men enter. One man leave.
Well, I'm going to invoke the law of the postman. If there are any dogs in this podcast, you'll have to leash them while I'm here.
Oh, all right. That joke played just as well as it did in the movie. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Guys, I think I might mail this one in today.
Ooh. As long as you listen to the Postal Service while you're doing it, it'll be fine.
You guys are going to make me go postal. We also have with us costume designer, Kristen Jones.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
We missed you as much as they missed fingers on the gloves in this movie, Kristen.
Okay.
Well, you don't need fingers on gloves when you're picking up.
not a single finger glove
have
in this
have
movie.
Have you ever tried to pick up a fucking letter with fucking gloves on? Can't do it.
But like 80% of the people needed fingerless gloves.
Yeah, pockets.
They're just, it's a staple.
They're practical.
I have no idea what the fuck you guys are even talking about. I didn't even notice
the postman,
the goddamn gloves on anybody's hand in this movie. What
really?
Are you talking
no,
about?
No, everybody's wearing like motorcycle gloves with the fingers.
Everybody. Yeah, you know, that's just like a Mad Max staple. That's what you do in the apocalypse, dude.
Yeah. Well, they're riding motorcycles and these guys are riding horses, so.
Save the tips, Jared. That's like underwear for a month or
There's
something.
There's no guzzling in this world, but there are bullets. Anyways, introduce the fucking movie. What are we doing?
We're doing the postman. God damn it. Because you picked this, Jared Callen.
You know what?
Made
this
all of
is
us.
A classic Kevin Costner film.
We have you to thank for this?
Yeah, because we needed to get it done. There's only 5 million movies to do.
We
got to
get
do
it
all
done.
Of them.
Oh, my God. Half the movie. Ginger was like, why do you guys have to watch this right now?
No, because also, like, was this our theme this month? I was confused.
It's like, no, it's still in the dystopian kind of, like, crazy world thing.
I thought the theme this month was supposed to be Kevin Costner movies, and I maybe thought it narrowed down to Kevin Costner-directed movies.
We're rolling out of disaster world, and we've never done this one. We did Waterworld. Of course, we got to do the fucking Postman.
Waterworld,
you guys
is fucking
act
great.
Like this movie's fucking terrible. It's not. It's just
so
long.
Goddamn cheesy. Are you kidding me? It was the Corey's
movie. Oh, you think America's cheesy? So you think America's cheesy? You son of a bitch.
Yes, yes. I think this fucking 1997 MAGA bullshit was a difficult 3 hours to get through.
America does have a cheese named after it as well. So.
And it's the only cheese for burgers, so
ooh, I will fight you on that hill.
Let's put a pin in that topic. We'll be here for the next 50 minutes.
Well, it's just, we have to run as long as this movie, so it's got to be
Jesus
3 hours.
Jesus Christ.
I don't have enough to say.
This movie's so long. No, no.
I was surprised. I went back and looking at the box office. This thing was a fucking goddamn bomb. Like, people talk about Waterworld, like, that's, like, the biggest bomb ever. This movie cost $80 million to make, was a rated R film, released on Christmas Day, and entire fucking gross worldwide is $30
million. Stop. Wow. Holy shit. How did he direct a movie ever again?
That's why it was on loop constantly at fucking HBO. They were like, make that money. Make that yeah. money. Oh yeah. My God, somebody's got to watch this shit at 3 a.m., and that's me. I'm like,
you're watching it at 3 a.m. I just see it now. Oh, there's Tom Petty.
You're famous, man.
The only part of the movie I really remember. Hey,
this is one of those movies that has the Furiosa effect, where, like, where I said that you'll end up liking it later. But this is when this one plays in hindsight, because when I remember this film, I was like, oh, this movie's really good. But then I think that I was really remembering, like, the, you know, 45 minutes of this movie that's really good, and then, like, forgetting the whole other fucking 2 hours,
man,
of fluff. But it's just all world building, man. My second watch, no. I enjoyed a lot more than my first watch. My first watch was like, holy shit, these guys are gonna kill me. But
how did you watch this movie twice? Jesus Christ,
I watched it twice.
Yeah, you gotta watch them twice, Mike.
Like, it's got some terrible cheese in it, but there are some moments in the movie that I fucking felt like a moron, but I almost cried.
Good man.
Yeah,
come on.
The music swells. I was like, all right, I know what you motherfuckers are doing. Fuck you guys. It is kind of working. You go give me that letter. Go give me that letter. It got me a couple times. I'm not gonna lie.
Are you talking about the most superfluous scene in the entire movie, where he rides past the kid trying to give the letter and then he turns around?
No, that one's kind of funny.
That one, because that kid looks so much like Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yeah,
I'm just like, I like stopped and like looked up to see if that was Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and I was like, oh, that's Kevin Costner's kid.
Oh my God. Okay, that makes sense. That's why it kept in the movie. It was so fucking Mike. Pointless. I laughed the entire time. The entire time. I was like shout laughing at how fucking ridiculous it was.
That's not the laughing part of that.
Oh my God. No. It was so stupid. Like, why is this in the movie? Like, oh, he ran past because he's an asshole. Oh, then he feels it. He has the power to know when a letter needs to be sent. What the fuck is going on? What?
Yeah. If they hadn't, like, cut back so many times between him, like, standing there looking at the kid with the letter.
He's
and the kid just being like,
yeah, I'm going to get that letter.
Here's a letter.
And then come back to the kid. It's so stupid.
It's just like, yeah. It could have been an interesting moment. Like, here's the letter, cool, cut away. Like, all right, he goes back and gets it, obviously. But then it became like a 3 minute long fucking scene with slow motion and close ups. And now we're going to sit on the kid for the fucking end of the movie. Like, that was just this.
Oh, hey, that's me. Like, how does anyone know about that fucking moment? Like, who is there?
Yeah.
It's just the mom and the little boy and the postman. So someone had to tell the story. And like, he can't be the only kid with a letter. There's just so much detail in that amazing statue, which upon second viewing had a really kind of cool motion control shot on it. It was a little janky at the end of it, but they did like a where they make the crowd disappear. So they're like dollying around it, and the crowd disappears, and then like it kind of lands into that front position, and we dissolve into the shot of the postman like grabbing the letter.
Yeah, I was happy with all the effects stuff. I thought the effects stuff for 97 was great. Even the cable car at the bridge that he rode. I thought that was fun.
The slow motion stuff they do is kind of trash.
Yeah.
Like think about when they like string the guy up for not sitting down, and they just do this like really low end, like janky slow-mo.
Do the entire
fight. Fucking Will Patton
like
walking up to cut
fight.
His throat. Like,
the end fight is garbage slow motion there. It's like, what the fuck? Did this just turn into Reservoir Dogs? What the hell happened?
Well, they're just like hugging and rolling and like doing Krav Maga, but not really. It was
the longest fucking cuddle session I've ever seen on screen.
But yeah, the slow motion just again, you're right, like sometimes it's good and it's fine and it plays, and then other times it's that choppy. I guess they're taking the slow motion footage and they're slowing it down in post. Is that what they're doing?
You think that's what they're doing? I didn't know why it looks so shit. I was like, I could see the exposure change, which is totally fine, but why does this look so bad?
I thought it was like slowed down 24 frames. Like it wasn't high speed that then slowed down and to playback normal. It looked like it was further slowed down, and that's why it was wonky.
Oh, like Kevin Costner's like, God, we should have shot this slow-mo.
Yeah.
And then like,
or let's go for that effect. Like this wasn't the first movie that did that as an effect where they're like, we want the slow-mo while it's in 24 and it'll feel weird and people will be like, oh, it's supposed to be interesting.
Now, Reservoir Dogs is the first thing that comes to mind. Mm. When those guys are all walking in the black suits and black ties. Yeah. That's got that same effect. Not good.
Not good.
But the CGI was good. I mean, I was very impressed with the CGI for 97. I mean, this is the same year as like The Lost World and what are some other big movies that came out? Like Contact. That was a good big sci-fi film. Yeah.
Contact was pretty dope.
But yeah, I thought all this stuff worked well.
Yeah, I like the him sitting on the gas pump like canopy, like smoking a cigarette next to like that big 76 sign. That composite looks really good. Like, yeah, for the time, I was like, it's vibey. And I've been playing a lot of Fallout 76 lately, so I was like, this feels appropriate.
Yeah.
There was some good rear screen projection stuff, like outside of windows a few times. Like there's, I don't remember when it was in the movie, but he walks into like their little house and they're overlooking a fucking waterfall in their home. And I was like, that's a really nice rear screen projection waterfall outside their window.
You don't think they put that on the side of a waterfall, bro? Come on now.
They did build that set on the side of the waterfall. Which,
I was about to say, that seems like that's part of that set. Back at the dam city.
Yeah.
Where Tom Petty lives. Man.
I can't fucking believe they built that set. How long? It's like maybe 11 minutes of this fucking 3-hour movie is at that fucking dam set.
At that damn set?
Yeah.
You know, like, damn it, Tom Petty was waiting.
I mean, maybe it was supposed to be a 4-hour movie, and that's why.
That's where they cut out the extra hour?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You got to get rid of that damn part. that seemed like an incredible waste of money to me.
Kevin Costner wasting money as a director? I'm shocked.
I think the random going to winter out of nowhere, and then like no time has really passed. He's still got blood on his face, and all of a sudden it's winter, and we got to be trapped in this cabin. I think that whole fucking sequence where the film totally just goes to a fucking crawl.
God, I was so bored.
That needed to go away.
Fuck, like, I was so bored that whole time.
Like, I know that we need to give time for the postman world to kind of like grow, so we can build the myth, the man, the myth, the legend. But man, there could have been another way. It's just the weird change to winter is so odd.
Yeah. Well, how they handle all the time passage is bizarre because like when you're watching it in the movie, like Will Patton and Kevin Costner. Like, they meet, and then they split apart, and then the next time they see each other again...
They don't know each other.
Yeah, Will Patton has no idea who the fuck he is. And it's like, wait, didn't you just see this guy, like, fucking 2 weeks ago?
It's been 6 months.
It's been way longer, and...
But it doesn't seem
that he had a beard, and he didn't have a beard
well,
in the
he
later
shaved.
Part.
I mean, you know...
I just thought it was supposed to signify how, like, insignificant he was.
But they actually gave him a name. He's Shakespeare. They're quoting Shakespeare back and forth, like... He was even going to promote the dude.
He does that with everyone. You don't know.
And they had the whole bridge and lion thing. And they killed the fucking crazy Giovanni Ribisi character. I mean, like, there was a lot that went on. I think you'd remember that guy.
Yeah, yeah. That would make sense.
They'd be telling that story for a while.
The lion's a little... I like the lion where it is, but it's a little weird seeing it at the very beginning of the movie.
It's tracking him.
I guess it's trying to. And is that what they're trying to do with that suspense moment inside the 76 gas station? You're supposed to think it's really a deer that leaves, but you're supposed to think it's that lion that's in there. Is that what they're trying to do there?
I think so, because on my second viewing, I realized that you see him walking and he says, you know, he always walks alone or whatever. And so he's walking across that barren desert, and him and his horse, his mule are leaving tracks. And then it cuts back and he's up on the top of the mountain looking down, and the lion's down there. Walking his tracks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't catch that at all. I thought in the gas station was like some other random person, because they have like two or three other times throughout the movie where he's like, oh, look, a stranger. Do we shoot them or do we hope that they're okay?
That girl is also his daughter.
Wait, which girl?
The girl on the horse when he comes up and he like puts the gun up on her. And she comes up and tries to like flirt on him later and he like ignores her.
Oh, the like little 15-year-old girl?
Yeah, that's
that
his
tries
daughter.
To dance.
Oh,
wow.
Terrible actor.
<That's> so weird. Carrier 12 or what was, I forget. Yeah. That probably wasn't her number in the movie. Who knows?
What Ford did was wrong. Like that girl.
Baby, do
You can't help anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the kid acting is bad. I don't like the lead actress in this.
It's all terrible. Really?
Yeah. It's not her fault. Her character is written so fucking stupid. You just kind of, I don't know.
She's a fucking loose cannon, bro. She's going to burn shit down. She's going to be like, look, we're going to get this shit going.
I thought that was so smart. I was like, is that how you get men to do things? You just burn it down.
Just burn it down.
That was one of my favorite moments of the entire movie.
Shit.
He's like, you're really weird.
Yeah, they could have cut like 45 minutes of him just telling her she's weird. Like, come on, dude, we get it. But that moment when you cut back and it's you see the fucking thing, I was like, oh, cool, she set it on fire, so they'll actually fucking leave.
No, she's all about playing games. She's doing whatever she can to get him better. She's putting his food across the room. He's got to walk. She's got to throw her ass in the river and scream for him to come save her, which she totally could have got out of that. Like,
yeah, that scene
confused
me,
too. They play
too.
That up. And it's supposed to be there's some time that supposedly happens between when he pulls her off of that dam. And then, I don't know, because then he's like, oh, you're not even bruised up anymore or whatever. I'm like, well, how much time has there been since the incident? And why are you just now talking about that your husband was killed by the fucking guy? I mean, we've spent all this time together and you haven't told me that your fucking husband was killed?
Yeah, no wonder she's been like... pissed at him the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a weird like sequence because I couldn't decide if she was like, if this was supposed to be like some sort of weird romantic, like let's fall in love thing, or if she was just trying to
he was wanting that
get him
wasn't.
Better. Right. Because it was both, I guess.
I don't know. I had a hard time. Like, I don't know. I didn't understand her character at all. Like, she was good up until the point where she gets kidnapped, and then I don't know. After that point on, I'm like, what are you doing? She turns into like fucking Rambo and starts like murdering motherfuckers, and then
but she can't shoot for shit. Like,
I think
nobody can shoot in this.
They're trying to convey, yeah, that's true. I think they're trying to convey that she's still very upset. That's how you know she loved her husband, and as much as she loves Kevin Costner, she's still mad at him because he's not her husband. And so you can't just have her latch on to the new guy, right? She has to go through an intense emotional process, except whoever wrote this didn't know what that meant. So they just had her go crazy.
Yeah.
And with all the time passing, you never see her get pregnant, ever.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering about that, too.
She just pops the baby up.
They mentioned that a couple times, too. They were like, yeah, I'm going to start showing soon. And then, like,
okay,
cut to 3 months later, and she's still the same fucking size. It's like,
that raises stakes if you're pregnant and we're having to deal with that. And we have to travel, and you killed the fucking horse? Like, how are we supposed to get your pregnant ass back? You know, like, what?
Yeah, there were a couple of times where I was actually very concerned for her, and then it cut to her, and I was like, oh, but she doesn't look pregnant. It's fine.
No, she's not pregnant at all. They don't show in the wasteland. Like...
Yeah, no, her character is fucking, like, there's no consistency to it. It's just, she's a narrative device for the entire movie, and she's there to propel Kevin Costner forward, and it's so just blindingly obvious that it's a frustrating character, because she just changes at the whims of the movie.
For no reason.
their whole relationship's weird. It's the whole thing starts off with him, like, being a sperm donor.
She says... What is she? I wrote this down because it's such a weird.
How's your
the body the father, body which is which father. Is which is going to be the the sequel to The Bodyguard.
God damn it, Jared! You just made that actually funny.
And also, if you're gonna just like go and try to get knocked up by somebody, why is it like a passionate lovemaking scene? And why are they kissing?
No, hold on. It was not a passionate lovemaking scene. That lovemaking scene was fucking weird as shit, dude.
It was very bizarre.
It was weird.
It was weird.
It was weird. But it was filmed as if it was supposed to be a passionate scene.
It's supposed to be passionate, like you know,
was
like,
it?
The, you know.
No,
like,
think of
yes.
Song. All right.
Oh my God, yes.
It was
yes.
supposed to be to set the foreshadow for them getting together.
Yes.
It didn't do that. But
guys, it literally starts with a girl saying, like, I don't want you to look at me. I don't want to know your name. Just pump
close
away, goddammit. And let's just get this thing done. And then after they have sex and Kevin Costner's about to fall asleep, she hops on top of him and starts getting seconds, right?
Yeah.
And she is going to town.
No, that was the third because they'd already finished. And then she's there, and then she rolls back on top of him and starts going again.
Yeah.
And they go for it again. And he's like, fuck, I'm fucking done. You know,
yeah,
like, damn.
The scene
and then,
literally ends with her sweating on top of him, and the camera
just getting everything she
fucking
can.
Tilts down, and Kevin Costner's asleep. And then it tilts back up, and she's like, fuck yeah. I put that motherfucker to sleep. Yeah. And then she leaves, and it's like, what the fuck did
she
I just
crab
watch?
She walks out of the room and like walks out upside down, doing everything she can. Like,
what is that scene? What the hell just happened? That is creepy as fuck.
Oh, man. Yeah,
but the beginning of it was shot all like, oh, here's the sex scene, enjoy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I don't think Kevin Costner knew how he wanted to handle that, and he was just like, all right, you guys have shot something like this before, let's just do something.
Should we make it weird? Should we make it sexual? Should we make it romantic?
Well, it's gotta be
you
weird.
Know, let's do all three.
You know? Yeah. And then that girl's husband just takes that blade in the chest, doesn't even, like, it's like suicide. He doesn't even try to do anything. He just stands there and gets stabbed.
Well, you know, if somebody's coming at you with a, you know, old school Civil War like sword, Jared.
No, he has to turn around, walk over to where it's in the scabbard, unsheath it, turn back around, and then come at him with it. Bro,
I'm just saying, you're going to be caught.
You've got so much time.
You're going to be caught like a deer in headlights, dude. You're not expecting somebody to stab you with a gigantic fucking
I guess
sword.
He's just like, he's like, holy shit, this guy just must have seen Braveheart. He wants to fuck my wife. Oh my God.
Exactly. What did you guys think? Speaking of, we're talking about villains here. What did you guys think of Will Patton as Bethlehem?
I think he thought the movie was going to be bigger than it was. And I don't mean like in terms of money and fame. I mean, like, I thought he felt like he was playing a larger role than the movie required. To me, he seemed like the only one who knew what the movie should have been. The cinematography, the lighting, all the fucking scenes shot at goddamn high noon with fucking, like, raccoon eyes while they're giving these giant sweeping lines that seem like they should be music swelling, emotional things that are just like blah, 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 shot like super straight on. The movie didn't feel epic ever, and he's the only one who felt like it was trying to be that. So I wanted the movie to be more for his sake.
But it also looks like you could just beat his ass.
Oh, yeah, no, he's definitely...
Yeah, he's a little Weasley. Sure. You know, like, why are there all these people following this guy? Just kill him.
I actually really liked that his background is, like, in an office, and he's like...
He's a Xerox salesman.
This is the best thing that happened to me. I thought he was the best character in the movie. I thought everyone else was pretty terrible.
He actually delivers those lines well.
Yeah, he's the best actor for sure. Yeah.
He's the only one that gives the weight to the things that there are being said.
And with maybe, I liked, who was the kid? Mercury, Ford, Lincoln, or whatever.
Ford, Lincoln, Mercury.
That one.
Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. So stupid.
I thought that actor was, it was pretty good too, but yeah, everyone else fucking name? Was just like, they were just so nonchalant about everything. There was like no acting really involved, except for the kids who were overacting.
Lawrence Tate.
Who's Lawrence Tate?
That's Ford Lincoln Mercury.
Oh. I don't think I've ever seen him in anything else.
Oh, he was in something. He was in Crash. He was Quincy Jones in Ray. That's probably where I'm remembering him from.
He's O-Dog in Menace to Society.
All right. That's kind of breaking my brain.
Oh, right. He was also in fucking Love Jones.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's him on the poster. Holy fuck, dude. He looks tall. Oh, because he's a baby. Yeah. He's still got baby fat. Dude, on his cheeks. My God. What is he, like, fucking... Was he a teenager when he made that? Holy shit.
He looks young as fuck in this movie.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he did.
He was also one of the two main people in Love Jones, which was a pretty big movie for an indie.
How does Ford Lincoln Mercury know the laws of eight at the end?
No, I assume because
he's been
in the camp.
Camp, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean, how does he know the laws of eight?
Because at the end, he pulls a gun up and he's like... Law 8, the only punishment is death or whatever. And he's like, don't do it, Ford. Don't do it. You know, all that shit. And he's like, you know, and then he changes 8. 8 means live and let live.
Yeah. Again, timelines in this movie, bro. How the fuck long was that Ford at the camp? Yeah. Who the fuck knows? I have no idea. If you watch the movie, it seems like, oh, the motherfucker was there for maybe a day or two.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah, but I don't know. How long did that montage last? How many fucking cities and towns did Kevin Costner's character go through before he shows up with like an entire army plus a new fucking U.S. flag? Because I'm pretty sure Bethlehem and his troops burnt every single fucking U.S. flag. I don't know.
I just assumed that he was in the camp for a long time because he was really, really angry at the end. And you don't get that level of... anger just by being kidnapped for like a day.
Touche.
Yeah, I feel like these are just such basic like movie making things that the director is responsible for. And I don't know if Kevin Costner just doesn't think about those things because he's too busy trying to act like he's not acting while he's acting, or
All right, I do like Kevin Costner as an actor now. All right, I think the man oozes some goddamn charisma out of his butthole without trying.
What the fuck are you talking about? Are you? Did you watch this movie?
Yeah, I totally
he doesn't,
did.
He doesn't deliver a single line any charisma.
Wait, what? I agree with Brian. Like, as long as he's not talking, like when he's just standing there and his hair is doing the thing, like great.
Kristen, don't be on my side.
But like when he's talking, like no, he's terrible. But like as long as he's not talking,
every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, how do people like this guy?
What? No, come on, when he's talking to fucking Bill, and he's like, that's turpentine, Bill. You know. Hell, Bill, that's why I like you.
I like that whole opening, the whole
you're
setup.
You're not picky.
Nice.
Oh, come on. Oh, man, but that smile, you're like, that's why that...
He's got a heavier southern accent right there, too. He's, I like you, Bill. You're not picky. That's why I like you, Bill. You're not picky.
Nice. Yeah. It's nice. It's good.
I hated that. I was like, is this what the movie is?
I was so bored. I was like, oh, fuck, I am in for a long-ass movie. Shit.
Man, I could have dealt with the whole movie just being Bill and the Postman. Or actually, let's get a prequel to this movie, all right? Bill, a postman story. A postman saga. I'm down. I mean, I want to see how Bill meets up with Kevin Costner to rehearse Shakespeare, you know? Like, let's see
It'll
that.
Be quite the wild ride.
That was pretty fucked up when he's like, you know, I like the shot of him and he's over in the little cage and he's watching them like razzling Bill around and Bill's like, you know, neighing and bucking, doing what he can to get away from him. Next thing you know, they're eating him.
Looks like meat's back on the menu, boys. You wish you were watching that 3-hour movie.
Oh my god, that's a 3-hour movie worth fucking watching. Jesus Christ.
This one should have been like fucking. It should have been like 2:15.
If this movie was 2 hours, I think I would have actually really enjoyed it. Fucking Christ, it's so long. Oh my god.
I mean, I think really enjoyed it as a stretch, but it would have been way, way, way better, yes, if it was 2 hours, because the last hour, at some point I had to pause it, and that's when I realized there was an hour left in the movie.
And yes.
I was like, that hour dragged, and like the last fight, I was like, okay. And then, but then they had the whole like, oh, should he live or not? And I was like, are you serious? Like, can you just get
it doesn't
to the
have
end?
To end like this?
It does. Let's kill him and keep going. Like, what are you talking about?
Kristen's like, I don't ever want to see a sequel to this. Kill that motherfucker. don't leave the door open for a sequel. I need to see resolution.
Move on.
Oh my goodness.
And it's terrible because like there are like some good moments in this film. Like this could have been an okay film. I mean it is. It's an okay film, but like
it could have been reasonably good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ride, Postman, ride.
Postman.
I really hate it though. How much I loved all of the postman stuff, and I was like, this is a really important job. Like the whole time I'm like contemplating postal service. But it's like more interesting. It's a more interesting like thought exercise than watching this movie, but to sit and think about like all the people whose lives have been changed by the postman. But like this movie, like you did nothing.
Yeah, when they go back and everything's been set up by Ford and they've got like 30 different routes and you see the whole behind the scenes and he's like, what the fuck? That's all like so heartwarming and really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, and everybody's got their, you know, all and the guy who gets killed, the guy who goes, ride, Postman, ride, his son, you know, like his reaction when they say that they're going to disband the post office, bro, he's so, like, I love his character. Like all those kids... all good, man. That's all really. That's one of my favorite parts of the movie.
I actually had the thought that this is what that movie about the photojournalist that we had to watch, like, that's what this movie was trying to be, I think.
Yeah.
Or no. It was trying to be this movie. Yeah. Yeah. I said it backwards. Yeah. 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 That movie was trying to be this movie. Civil War. Oh, yeah. And this is about Civil War, too. See, look at that. Like, was this the inspiration?
Postman was better.
It was. Fucking... It was. Postman was better. Postman
was better, Griggs.
Oh, God. Like, finally,
you're not wrong, but that's
positive.
Only illustrating how much I dislike this movie. For me. Fuck.
Yeah, like, I walked away from this. Like, more hopeful and, like, more patriotic and, like, more everything than that other movie.
Oh, my God. No, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. It was so fucking cringe.
It was really bad, but then the whole town joined in, and I was like, okay, that's kind of sweet.
That's right.
No, but then I love that moment. I love that moment where the mayor guy comes up, and he rides him out of town, and then he's like, the sheriff, he's like, you really, who you say you are?
He gives him his fucking letter.
Yeah, that's a good moment. That's a great fucking moment. That's cinema.
No,
that's a good moment.
I love that actor too. That's a great character actor.
Yeah.
The worst moment was when what's his name, Kevin Costner, like was
what's his name, Kevin Costner? You know,
he doesn't have a name.
He doesn't have a name.
His name's the fucking postman.
He's the postman or Shakespeare.
I was gonna call him Kevin Spacey, but it was the wrong name. Okay.
Oh no, hold on now.
No. Okay. The worst moment was when Kevin Costner, like, was like, oh, people are, like, doing things. They're inspired. I have to shut it down. And I was like, bro, like, you're embarrassing yourself. No, for a cause. They're fighting for the United States of America. And they're trying to get it back together. They're taking back their country. They're going to die. Like, so, what did they say in the movie? Some things are worth dying for? Like, that's what this whole movie is. It's about inspiring people, and he's like, oh, I think it's better to live under Bethlehem. What are you talking? Like, bro,
yeah, Ford's like,
bro, get it together. Yeah. Like, I hated that whole, like, I know his hero has to lose his way, but, like, I was embarrassed. I was like, you're embarrassing, like, the whole movie. Like, yeah. Please don't do this.
His reaction when Ford goes, I would die to get a letter delivered, and he goes, what did you just say? You know, like, all that right there. I was like, whoa.
But they would. Like, do you, like, the way people react because you're putting them in communication with their long-lost family who they thought were dead or their old, like, there's so many important, I know a lot of people don't write letters anymore, but, like, you should. Like, I don't know. It's an important thing. If communication is important, and you should be willing to communicate with your loved ones. And it is, yes, people would die for this. People have died for this.
Yeah, that's the heart of the movie. That's the whole reason why this thing got greenlit and given $80 million to be made, is because that as a concept is what we as humans want. We want connection. We want that communal aspect. And that's what they are pushing towards. And if this movie had been 2 hours, it probably would have been really endearing and heartwarming and, like, just way more interesting. As it is, there's so much fucking fluff that it's hard to I don't know. Maybe I'm just watching it from a post-apocalyptic perspective after we've all gone through a fucking pandemic. I don't know. It just, this movie is dripping with all of the everybody's so earnest in this movie that it doesn't seem as they're just too eager. I don't know. Is that just me? My little jaded,
I don't know. That is this world, you know, like they're all watching Sound of Music and you put Universal Soldier on with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren and it's going to get booed off and we're going to start throwing rocks at the projection house that's floating on this, like, fucking lake.
Yeah.
Fucking,
and that's
50
the bad
yards
guys
away and, like, they're throwing giant rocks.
And the guy's screaming like they can hear him. He's like, is this what you want? Is this what you want? They can't see you, bro.
Dude, that guy's just trying to live, bro. He's on that film can up there so he doesn't get hit in the face with one of those gigantic boulders that they are throwing at him.
But everybody's so, like, Hallmark 50s, you know, like
white people.
Everybody, when they, like, read the letters, they're like, hello, Mr. President. They all, like, respond, you know, and everybody's just like, yay, you know, this is so great.
I kind of liked the earnestness. It's a little annoying in places, and at first I was a little confused with where they were going with it. But I think it's to show, like, these people have been so beaten back and it's their first signs of hope returning, and it's like their inner, it's like their inner children are coming out, and they're like, oh, my God, really? It's overdone at times, and it's not well acted in other times. But I kind of liked it. I did like it.
I don't care what you say.
And they sure do.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you don't care what I was like. And they sure do know how to throw a party.
Wait, which one? Which town?
Like the good town, Pineview or whatever. Oh, okay. Like, every party they throw is a fucking, like, is a banger.
I was going to say.
They got the fucking Christmas
lights
up. Because
the whole town shows up.
Some of them suck. But yeah, no, the Pineview, you're right. They have, like, Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Christmas lights
amazing.
Powered by, we don't know.
Yeah, where are they getting all this power from?
It's fucking solar power, dude. They took a bunch of those calculators from the 80s with those little solar.
Okay. Okay. All right. It makes sense. Hey, bro, just give me something.
Give me something. Because there's too many shots of like 1,000 candles in a room for them to have fucking light to then cut to a shot where like, oh, now we have the pretty Christmas lights in the background to represent them getting together in the relationship.
I did not like those.
She was so shocked he wanted to dance with her.
That whole scene was just so terrible.
Yeah, it was not.
Those lights didn't work in the background. The lens choice was fucking weird. It took me completely out of the moment because it was so dramatically different than anything else that they'd done in the entire film up to that point.
Yeah,
and then stuff was still flat and awkward, and then they were flat and awkward between the. It was just awkward.
They were in focus though. That's something I noticed after watching all these modern movies. I was like, ah, look at that, close-ups in focus.
What a concept.
It's the baby steps. You know what? We've actually been running a little long. We're gonna take a break. We're gonna play the trailer for El Postino. Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's the Postman movie that came out later that was nominated for an Oscar. We're talking about Kevin Costner's The Postman. We'll be back.
In the future, after the Great War, our civilization lies in ruin. Government does not exist. Technology has been erased. And everything man remembers is gone. Out of the chaos, a lawless army will arise to prey on the few survivors. But to a people who have lost their hope,
you are a dangerous man. I can see it in your eyes.
He will give them courage.
I have a feeling about you.
He will restore their memories of the past.
It's the individual that counts.
These people don't need dreams. They need help. Are you going to bring them that?
I want him bound. I want him dealt with.
He will unite them.
You have a gift, Postman.
With a message of freedom.
I challenge the leadership of the Klan.
You want a war? I'll give you a war!
Kevin Costner, Academy Award-winning director of Dances with Wolves, brings you an epic new vision of our future.
There's gonna be new laws! There's gonna be peace!
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Kevin Costner's The Postman. I may have purposely chosen the worst trailer. All right.
Man.
In the future.
This movie will sound like a parody of itself.
Bro, they reminded me, like, there's going to be new laws. There's going to be peace. And it cuts, and everybody's like, yeah. Yeah. Everybody's like, just kind of nodding their heads. They're like, yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Does it cut, Jared, or does it dissolve?
In my brain it cuts, but you're probably right, it dissolves.
So many goddamn dissolves. There are more dissolves in this film than I think in any other like 10 films combined.
There was like it became a montage style where it's like, oh, he's talking now, it's time to dissolve to all the reaction shots.
Yeah, dissolves normally reserved for passing time.
Shouldn't
be in the same scene.
No,
unless you're cutting time.
Very weird. Very very bizarre.
Very strange. Yeah, the whole ending just wraps up, just like, everybody's like, all right, yeah. And the one guy who got his dick cut off, or his balls cut off, or whatever, you know, it shouldn't, since technically he killed, Bethlehem, shouldn't he be the leader now?
Dude, they've already won the fight, and, like, Lincoln already set down some new rules, all right?
Oh, there's new rules. Oh, yeah. All right, never mind.
I don't know, I'm making some things up.
Hey, man, you it seems as thought out as this movie. It's fine.
Yeah, I gotta say, I have a hard time with this movie because it just feels so self-indulgent. It feels like Kevin Costner was like, I'm gonna direct the fuck out of this because I'm gonna act the fuck out of this. And the two personas did not agree, it did not talk, and like, there was probably very few people on set to tell him, hey, can you do that again? But like, you know, good.
Because when you're directing yourself and you're starring, like, that leaves most of the directing to either producer, AD, or your cinematographer, or whoever maybe your camera person is, like, right fucking next to you. Like, that's a very small group of people that can tell you, hey, this is what it needs to be. If you haven't worked with them before, if you don't have a relationship, like, none of those bitches are going to tell you, no, you should do it good.
He's trying to pull off a Braveheart, you know, get that best director thing for the
movie. Yeah, but all their exterior scenes are shot at fucking high noon, so someone had something that got lost in translation there.
He'd already won his Oscars, too, for Dance with the Wolves.
Is that why he didn't care about anything looking good in this movie?
The cinematographer, this was their, like, first movie, like, big movie. I think they were doing, like, TV things and stuff like that. It's the motherfucker that shoots all those the Fast and Furious movies. He shoots a lot of Justin Lin stuff.
I gotta look him up. Does he really?
Fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget what his name is. Yeah, I'd have to look it up as well.
But Steven Wynden.
He also got a great guy to do the score, like classic composer. What's it? Newton Howard?
James Newton Howard.
James Newton Howard. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, that did pretty good, man. He pushed the patriotic theme.
Okay. Kevin Costner wins all these fucking Oscars for Dance with the Wolves. Why does he not bring the team back, though, that helped him make that movie? Like, He had John Barry, you know, like, fucking famed composer John Barry did all those fucking Bond movies from back in the day. Like, oh, why not bring him back? I mean, not that James Newton Howard's bad, but he's got a sound. You know what I mean?
He does.
He doesn't do these kind of movies. I think the best action-y movie that he's score-wise that I like is The Fugitive.
Ooh.
And that's even kind of like, it's got some 90s catch to it, especially in the drums. I don't know. It seems like you win an Oscar, you bring back your creatives.
Yeah, that seems like it would be a reasonable conclusion.
Maybe he's just a shitty person. Come on, guys.
No, he wanted the, it was like shitty like song moments where you got like the la 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 clap clap la 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 all these like super goofy we're hunky dory moments, you know?
There was a lot of goofy stuff in this.
Yeah.
Which, maybe Kevin Costner's a little goofy.
Clearly he's a little weird, okay? Like,
oh, he definitely is.
We got that part.
Have you seen this man's idea of romance?
I like when they do kissing scenes and they roll their heads like. It was just the back of his head too. He was like, yeah. He's like, look at my hairline. It's still there.
Kind of. He's rocking what he's got. Okay.
Yeah.
Kristen, I noticed you've been very quiet about costumes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Actually, come on. I'm very interested.
Actually, I thought they were kind of interesting. I thought they did a nice job with costumes, actually. It wasn't anything, like, super interesting. Nothing, like, really stood out. Like, usually, especially with stuff like this, where everyone's kind of wearing rags or whatever, you have something that is the focal point, and they didn't really do that, and that's, you know.
Oh, no, Kevin Costner's got
hand-knit
that
turtleneck sweaters. Yeah, yeah, hand-knit turtleneck sweaters.
Those are scarves, Jared.
No, bullshit, they're sweaters.
It's just a sweater, because he's wearing it for like a majority.
Except for at the end when he rips through his fucking, coat, and he's not, the sweater's not on.
When Janet Jackson's the fuck out of his arm sleeve.
Yeah, there's no sleeve on that sweater there.
He needed to show his arm. I think the focal point clothing-wise is supposed to be the postman outfits, and they all have their different little hats that they wear backwards for like a scene for some reason.
Because it was cooler when he was a kid.
Yeah, sure. And you know, I was like, yeah, it was okay. Considering what it was great. And I don't really have any major complaints except that some of the clothes seemed very clean.
Yeah,
I would have liked them to have been thrown in the dirt or something.
They can wash them though, because when he shows up in the postman outfit that someone died and rotted in, and he's like wearing that on his skin, I was like, "Holy
dead
shit!"
Dead body
bro.
Juices are still in that.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I want to see the scene him putting that on, going, ugh, like pulling the skin,
it's as crusty as the fucking skeleton.
Yeah, but they clean it and take it up for him. You know, they press it.
Yeah, it looks like you've lost some weight.
And at the army camp, they're like, they've got this whole manufacturing thing where they're dyeing everything orange.
Oh yeah.
Or burnt like burnt sienna or something.
There's a lot of warm tones. Yeah, that was actually one of my only like annoyances. Feels like a strong word, but like opportunities that was missed was, it seems like the production designer and the costume designer, everybody was just like, let's just make the entire tone of this movie brown.
Yeah.
Like there, because there's so much earth tones that it would have been interesting to see some of the costumes be a little bit more like blue or black or like just some contrasting colors, just to give a different color palette. And that's where, to me, it comes down to like Kevin Costner as the director just being like, no, this is what everything is, and instead of having something that's a little bit more visually interesting.
Well, I think that you only have access to the dyes that you can get naturally, right?
Hold on,
they're trying to make the flag pop is what they're doing, right?
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to, yeah. But the thing is that, yes, okay, so let's assume you only have natural dyes. There's still actually a lot of variety, but you would have to have access to, like, women. And, like, women who do this. And so you can actually do a lot naturally, but if Kevin Costner's in charge of this whole thing, like, he's not going to have that vision because I don't, like, why, you know. It's just not, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And so when that happens, when you lose, when you sit and take, like there's this movement, and I'm sure it's not new, of like, you know, making things like pretty and visually interesting is like a waste of time. And it's like we should have like a very Spartan kind of world, you know, it really irritates me because you're kind of erasing like the whole point of life. And in no way do people like evolve to not have joy and interest and beauty.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's
well said.
That's, that's kind of the issue I have with post-apocalyptic films, kind of like this one, where they're like, oh, they wouldn't have nice things and they wouldn't have. Well, they would make it nice. Someone would make it nice.
Right. This is supposed to be like 15 years into the future, or maybe 20 tops, and everybody looks like they've got brand new, really shitty rags.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, nobody has like their dad's fucking coat.
Right.
Or, you know, like their mom's fucking dress or something that like is a little bit tattered, a little bit like worn down and thin in some places, but everybody looks the same with the fucking fingerless gloves. It's a decision, I guess. I don't know.
It's a decision to make everyone very uniform, and it's either a poor directing. It's probably definitely a poor directing decision, but also the costume designer would have gone along with it if he or she did not have a budget and was like, let's just get this done. But based on the rest of this movie, I don't think that's the case. I think this was a directing decision.
They definitely had a budget. They made all those crazy costumes.
Yeah, that's why I figured it was not that. But I'm just saying, like, it could have been maybe in some world. But
and they had to fill out those entire crowds because those weren't.
Yeah, there's a lot of crowd scenes.
And they looked nice. I mean, that's kind of the thing. That's kind of how I feel about the costumes. And I guess as an extension, the production design is, considering the choices that they made, they did it really well. It was executed really well. I don't know that they were like the best decisions, like in any world, but it was a decision and they did it well.
None of it felt cheap. None of it felt like theatrical. Like I didn't feel like I was, you know, looking at like a stage play at a community theater. Everything felt like in the world. It was just very, I don't know, boringly framed. Like, for like, Will Patton is just fucking hamming up all of his scenes, and they're just shooting him like straight on with like a long lens when it should be like a low angle. Like, he's shouting these big epic things while shit's blowing up behind him and stuff, and everybody's just like, well, you know, it's fine. Was that just me? Am I the only one that thought that there was like more epicness that this movie could have been and just didn't go there?
No, I think this could have been a really great movie. I think the movie that Will Patton thought he was shooting, I would like to watch that movie.
Yeah. Like, he was definitely picturing Braveheart in his head while he was delivering all his fucking
lines. Yes. Yeah. And I would, and I think if they had actually made this movie like they were all shooting Braveheart, it would have been really cool. But it was like someone was like, hey, let's make a movie, but like, be chill about it.
Yeah.
And that's what you get. You get a movie that no one cares about.
That made $30 million worldwide.
I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss for words. I understand what you're saying, but like, I don't know. It had the epic moments. It's, I don't know, but you are right. Like, it's, I think it maybe because the movie's focusing, we're spending such large chunks of the movie not doing those cool epic moments, and like all the cool like stuff that, you would really want to see in an action-adventure movie is in a montage in this film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even your big, like...
Yeah.
You have the big fight at the end, right? Where, like, the two clans are riding together, you know, riding against each other on horseback, and it's like, you're getting the scope, you're getting the shots, but then it's two guys, you know, running around in the dirt, rolling around in the dirt at the end. So I see what you're saying. I don't know.
You just think there's good source material. Okay, I see.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
They're just cutting out the wrong moments?
I think it's the way it's shot. It's the way that things are composed. It's the way that things are juxtaposed. It's like there is plenty of like shit happening where there's like, you know, 200 fucking horses riding across a field. That's an epic thing that's happening, and it is happening for real. And there are some like wide shots and some multi-camera angles where things are looking good. But then when it comes into the moment, it just feels like made for TV. It's too medium close up from a little bit higher of an angle where we're just trying to make them look like really good as opposed to like, let's feel the space. Let's feel the context. Let's get some epicness. Let's like shoot up a little bit. Like, goddamn, let's get some fucking Michael Bay angles in here. Like, is that
an actor did direct the movie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
the
movie's
here,
feels...
Mike. It's right here, you know, head to chin. That's where this movie is going to live.
There is no visual information in this movie. Like, the way that Denis Villeneuve conveys information in a single shot, like, ooh, Kevin Costner just does not do. You know what I'm saying? There's not, like, an epic moment where you see, like, this cool thing that blows up or, like, it's just not there, you know? It just feels like Kevin Costner wants to look really good in his movie.
Can't disagree with that.
I agree. The best moments, and this is when I was saying that he's the most charismatic, is when he's not talking and he just looks really, really cool.
Yeah.
Because there are moments where you're like, well, actually, he is. I can see why people thought he was a heartthrob. Okay, he does look really great there. The rest of the movie, he doesn't. Like.
He looks really good riding a horse. Mm.
Okay, Brian.
Well, he does his own horse stunts.
That man knows how to gallop.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. When he's like going to rescue, you know, his girl. He's shooting the guys. Oh, why he's on horseback? Oh, those shots look so good.
Yeah, those shots look so good. So why does that epicness not like continue to convey when he's not on fucking horseback?
Maybe he has like a massive insecurity problem, and so he's like, I need to like be like a cool, relatable guy. I can't be like an epic guy, and so he's like embarrassed by his horseback riding skills, even though they're very good. And he's like, no, like let's just be chill, guys. Let's just be chill. Like that would have been a good idea, but we're not making that kind of movie. Like we're just all, you know, it's just whatever.
He does spend like the majority of the movie with his close-ups looking from the left side of his face, so I do think he does has a massive insecurity problem. It's like, wait, weren't we on the other side? Did we just break the line just so you could turn and look left into the camera instead of looking right?
Excuse me, what cinematographer? Fuck? I know my good side. You sit down and just light it.
Was that just me, or was that like half the fucking movie?
He is framed left a lot.
Oh man.
He knows his. Oh, he knows his good side, guys. He knows
his good side.
I did just read that cable cart thing was real.
Oh, it was like suspended from a fucking helicopter or something.
Yeah, they were pulling it with a helicopter. That wasn't a composite.
No, it's still a composite because they're compositing the helicopter out and the takeoff shots. The only thing that's included on the Blu-ray is their little CGI making of. And the first two shots of that were done in like I think the Warner Brothers backlot. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, they literally just did it not like in the parking lot to the back lot, and they just hung some green screens and just had that car on some the cart.
Yeah, they could have just walked that around like 11 o'clock and then like filmed it around noon, just like the rest of the movie.
It's perfect.
I think that's why those shots hold up, man, because they're just removing a helicopter and they look fucking cool. I mean, they're putting the wire in too as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think those hold up very nicely. And you can actually see Kevin Costner's fucking face.
Yeah, that helps.
That's a big deal.
And when you're seeing his face, you're immediately like, oh, the background's fake. And the background being real really sells those shots well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the special effects. And
I ride this thing, man, just because I can.
Benefits of being a city employee, city official, whatever the fuck he says.
Yeah, because he's like, he's Mayor Petty.
I used to be someone important. It's fine.
You're famous, man. I've heard of you.
Was that the only reason he was in this movie? Like, they could have just gotten anyone that was actually famous just for that
he
fucking line.
Probably hanging out with Kevin Costner. He's like, I'll put you in a movie, man. That'd be cool, man. Like, every other word he says is man. Like, he's total hippie, man.
You know, it is like the thing, like when you said the postman, that's like, oh yeah, the Tom Petty Kevin Costner movie.
My brain goes to. And the whole time I was watching it, I was like, where in the fuck does Tom Petty show up?
Two hours and 30 minutes into the movie, Jared.
It's 45 minutes until we actually run into the post van, you know? Like,
Yeah. Longest fucking setup ever.
Anybody got anything else, or are we moving on to ratings?
I don't want to just keep dragging this movie. We should probably just rate it.
All right. We've all heard the Grig speak. So, who's going first? Anybody want to go first? All right, I'm going to go first. I'm going to be nice. We're going to give it a 7.
Whoa.
We're going to take a point off for the length. Some of the moments that are supposed to be endearing do read as cheesy. Mostly the letter scene, because it's just so drawn out. It is like, you could put a laugh track underneath that and, yeah, you could kill a theater. You could fucking kill a theater. But it does have those moments, you know, like where it sells the drama and the music swells are good enough. And you're like, yeah, you know, hey, I may shed a tear. It may actually come out of my eye. It's entertaining. It's just too fucking long, man. It's just too long. It's too long. This movie has no reason to exist at 3 hours runtime. And that just makes it kind of laborious. And I forgot who brought it up first. But yeah, the cabin section is just, man, it goes on forever. And it's just like, I got the idea, I think. I still don't understand the woman's motivations and why she's switching her character choice. I feel like we're just blowing past all that shit. And it's just like, you know, women, right? She's preggers.
Very fickle.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go 7. Not terrible, but not great either. Let's go next.
Oh, man. I want to like this movie. This movie wants me to like it. This movie goes to extreme fucking lengths to put its endearing cheese dripping all over this fucking movie to make you like it with what
American
feels
cheese.
To me now more like sickeningly sweet. Maybe I'm a little bit jaded. Maybe after Mr. 45, Make America Great Again just doesn't fucking work for me in a fucking movie. But this was 1997, not 2024. So, you know, there's a lot of heart in this film. I think what bothers me the most is the inconsistency. And I think most of the inconsistency could have been fixed by a significantly shorter runtime, probably closer to 2 hours. But for all of the epic moments that this movie wants to have, there are an equal number of just fucking awkward things that are happening. And for all the endearing, heartwarming, like, oh, look at these people that are like growing together and they all want peace, there are equal numbers of moments where it's like, what? There's no motivation here. Like, this is just like a plot thing that's happening because you need the story to move along. And Brian talking about the fucking scene in the wintertime when they're in the cabin, like, when that scene started, I was like, oh, cool. We'll get some of the understanding of this female character's motivation. Like, she's maybe more than just, like, wants to get pregnant and move on. Like, and then fucking no. It was just Kevin Costner being awkward for, like, 20 minutes of the fucking movie. Like, why do we need this? Nothing is happening. Nothing is progressing. I'm not learning anything about these characters. Why are we still here? That was most of this movie. It's just not good. It's not good. It wants to be good. It has elements that should be better than they are. It's just, it feels like a giant masturbatory self-indulgence exhibition for Kevin Costner. I'm going to get a 4.5. I think the music has some good moments. I think there are some well-executed horseback riding scenes. I don't think that the direction had enough with it to make the battle scenes epic. I don't think that the action was actually that interesting. I think most of the time we're just in medium fucking close-ups of Kevin Costner. and the times when we need to see something a little bit more interesting, it's just not happening. I was fucking bored for 3 hours, man. I understand why people like this movie. Probably they've seen it more and they think about it after the fact and they're like, well, it's a great concept. Correct. This is a great concept movie. This is the kind of movie that an executive could hear a pitch on and be like, that sounds fucking great. Make me that. And then they got this shit for $80 million. Of course it only made 30 because it was garbage. I wanted to like it more than I did. I'm done. 4.5.
First time seeing this, Mike?
I feel like I've seen a scene or two like on cable or like in passing. And I've heard about it for fucking forever. But yeah, first time seeing it.
You know, one day I'll bring over my entire Kevin Costner Blu-ray collection. We'll just go through and knock them all out. and I'm going to make you appreciate Kevin Costner on horseback. Yes. I'm just going to cut
Dances with Wolves is infinitely better than this. Fucking Waterworld is infinitely better than this.
Oh, no,
Both of those movies are rated similarly on IMDb. I don't understand how this movie has the nostalgia that it does.
Wait, you think this is better than Waterworld, Jared?
No. Please tell me no, Jared.
He's thinking, though. Look at this.
What?
Look at him thinking.
You're considering an answer to that question?
I watched this way more than Waterworld as a kid.
What?
He wants to do Waterworld next week is what he's saying.
We've already done Waterworld.
Done Waterworld. Sorry. Yeah.
Waterworld is a great movie compared to this. What the fuck?
Okay, so I watched it this week, and my nostalgia boner went like, pew. Right? And I was like, holy shit, this is kind of bad. And it doesn't hold up in my brain. And then I was like, I gave it a few days and I watched it again and I immediately rated it a 7. Because I was like, damn, there's all these really great moments and there's like, you know, these like hopeful moments and there's all America, which is really cool and all that. But it's just all the fluff in the middle. It's just too goddamn long. It's just too fucking long. This feels like when you get a movie and it comes with the extended director's cut and it's got all the bullshit in it, it feels like we're watching that instead of like the tight studio edit. This movie was dying for some oversight. But that being said,
I agree with that.
It's still fun, especially the time period that it came out. Fucking Patton. Will Patton, is that his name?
Yep.
He's fucking chewing the scenery, and that's what you need. That's what you need in a movie like this. And I don't know, man. There's so much heart in all the small scenes, and they're trying so fucking hard, you know? But it does feel like a TV movie, and it doesn't hold up. So I'm going to come in at a 6.5.
Jared, that's like one of the lowest you've ever given on this pot. A 6.5?
It's just because I was so, like, devastated.
To observe the quality of the movie.
That my memory didn't, like, hold up to the...
That's what devastated... Like, oh, my God. I got to go back and listen to Alan Quartermain and see what you rated that, because that should have fucking destroyed your goddamn dreams.
Okay. I'm going to give it a 7 off my first impression of watching it the second time. I'll give it a 7.
No,
if you look at my IMDb, it's already rated. It's a 7. It is.
All right, Kristen. What say you?
All right. You know, there's some good moments in here. There's a lot of good moments in here, and you can feel hopeful and inspired and love your country again and all of that, and appreciate Kevin Costner's when he's not talking. And there's a lot of really great stuff here. There's also a lot of stuff that is not interesting in the slightest. And I think, you know, if you were to this is like a what I call background movies. If you just put it on, like you have some people over, you know, sometimes you stop to watch the interesting parts and then you talk through the rest of the movie. You know, like it's one of those. And I think it's unfortunate because there's potential here. It doesn't have to be like that, but it is. And so here we are. And I don't know. I really don't know what to rate this because I want to like it. I want to like this movie. It's 3 hours for like what?
Kevin Costner on a horse.
The postman.
He's not even on a horse that much. Like, what are we talking about?
He's on a mule.
It's like 30.
At the beginning.
Oh, he's not on the mule. He's just walking the mule.
Yeah, he's not on it.
Yeah, the mule is like carrying his shit. So, no, that does not count as horseback riding, Jared. Sorry.
Yeah, I want to give this, like, my first thought was to give this movie a 5, but I think I have to give it, I'll go up, I'll give it a 6, because it's so hard, because like parts of the movie I think are brilliant, and then but then there's the rest of it, and so I don't know. I'll give it a six.
Kristen just told me she wants to review Dances with Wolves next week. That's what she just said, bro. That's yep. You guys all heard it, going? Right?
Parts of the movie are amazing, and then there's the rest of it.
Yeah.
So as far as you know, you have good semen. I get it.
I forgot about that.
Are you coming on to me?
It's the uniform. Give us those rights, Meredith.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what the rest of the world thinks about this film.
I imagine it's terrible. I'm going to go ahead and guess 33%.
No.
Okay, so years after a major global conflict has left the United States in dystopian disarray, a nomadic traveler who becomes known as the Postman... Oh, read more. I'm not reading all this. Fuck that.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay, I'll read this. A massive miscalculation in self-mythologizing by a director.
Self-mythologizing? Oh, damn.
Well fucking described. I'm here for it.
The Postman would make for a goofy good time if it weren't so fatally self-serious.
God, yes. Yeah, damn. True. God damn, that's my entire fucking review just perfectly summarized. Holy shit.
That's really...
You read this before you reviewed it.
I did not...
Okay, Rotten Tomatoes brings in The Postman.
47.
With a 14% tomato meter.
What?
No!
And a,
what?
And a 51% audience score.
Holy shit!
Wait.
51 an audience score?
What did you say what the audience score was?
51% audience score with over 50,000 ratings. And wow. A 14% tomato meter with only 42
Man, that's fucking wild. This was when we all started like turning on Kevin Costner. We were like, you know what, bitch, you got too big
fuck
for your
you, Kevin Costner.
You got too big. You better sit the fuck back down. Oh man, yeah, damn, that's rough, man. Anybody got anything else?
Yeah, I was gonna say, did we want to talk about where this was set and how he just travels all over the U.S. on his little horse?
No, he was in Oregon. It was all in Oregon.
No, we don't know that.
Yeah, you have title cards.
He's trying to,
every time you show up at a place,
get to Oregon.
There's a title card.
It's in California and Utah.
There we go. Nope. It's like someone said California, and then didn't they mention like Idaho at some point in the movie?
No, the guy was traveling from California, but
isn't the opening scene in the Salt Flats of Utah?
Yeah, the very first scene is, and then whenever they get kidnapped. Or actually, no, it's whenever he goes to that first village to perform Shakespeare. That's in Oregon because,
Oregon.
So everything from there on, I think, is in Oregon.
Yeah, because he even goes, this is, fuck, man, he had to climb that, like, those massive stairs. He's like, well, you guys don't have a city name, so you're now called Elvis, Oregon.
Yeah, that was the first time I realized that he was in Oregon, though.
Yeah, I thought that
Pine
was
View
indicative.
Was in Oregon as well.
Is it? I thought the Elvis Oregon was supposed to be like him getting closer to this other place in Oregon that he was trying to go to the whole time.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That was supposed to be like, well, I'm close, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah.
St. Rose, Oregon? Yeah.
Yeah. Missed the single line of why he wanted to go there
real?
Because they talk about it 7 times in the movie. Why did he want to go there? Did they... Was that obvious or is it just...
It wasn't it on one of the... it was on one of the letters that he burned.
Yeah,
wasn't
well,
it?
I think he wanted to go. He wanted to go there before then because he tells one of Will Patton's guards or his captain or something, the real racist guy.
Yeah, he said something about like I'm on my way to this place in Oregon, and then he finds the letter later, and he's like, oh no, I have a better reason to go there. But I've totally missed like why he cared about going there in the first place.
Yeah, maybe that's where his family is.
Well, didn't he say it was something that was supposed to be? Like a rebuilt community and everything was fine there. Just, you know, I don't know. And when you get the flashback there, it straight up looks like it's like, oh, look at that. That's like fucking 1997, 1998. I mean, there's fucking cars in the background and they look like they would be working. They're not like in disrepair and like the hoods are open or anything like that. They're like,
and that's supposed to be in like 2044.
30 years after the, you know, 30 years later, basically.
Yeah. When that little boy can become a man.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
And his daughter, Hope.
Oh, my God.
Here's your daughter. Her name is Hope.
Well, you watch this movie with the subtitles, and you get the daughter's very VO at the very beginning of the movie, it actually says, narrator, Hope. And I'm like,
stop.
Why are they giving you the name of the character? You, like, it's not like
that's terrible.
Yeah, right? So bizarre.
Not as bizarre as that statue.
You know, it would have been better if it was like a statue of him just holding a mailbag, like waving.
With that hat, yeah.
Or like doing the salute that all the kids give him. And he's like, oh, stop it, stop it, stop it. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Check the Gate.
Griggs, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's G-R-I-G-G-S-Y Media.
And Kristen, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And I'm on X at Elkins Edits. And we're closing out the show tonight with an excerpt from track number one from the Postman soundtrack titled Main Titles. Yeah, I know. It's kind of boring. And this is from James Newton Howard. Enjoy.